Blog Talk Radio.
Move this so I can read it. Okay.
Bloomberg has spent over $12 million in TV ads alone this year to campaign for strict gun control legislation. He envisages military-style surveillance drones hovering over New York, fitted with facial recognition software. He describes opposition to the idea that it's the craziness. Oh, it's Big Brother, said people should just get used to it. Bloomberg has even taken his police state vision to a micro level in banning smoking in public and attempting to ban trans fats, large sugary drinks, and styrofoam cups. Further adding his proposed changes to the Constitution, Bloomberg added, it really says something bad about us that we have to do it, but our obligation first and foremost is to keep our kids safe in the schools.
First and foremost to keep you safe if you go to a sporting event. First and foremost to keep you safe if you walk downtown in the streets and go into our parks. And Bloomberg said, we cannot let the terrorists put us in a situation where we can't do those things. And the ways to do that is to provide what we think is an appropriate level of protection. And Bloomberg then stated that after changing the Constitution and watering down the Second Amendment, it would be foolish to give away freedoms. Why we can't do it is... What we can't do is let the protection get in the way of us enjoying our freedoms, he said. That would let the terrorists win. That's what... This guy is nuts. Okay, Ben Franklin warned the Americans that when... they should never trade liberty for a greater security, no matter as far as Bloomberg is concerned, because Franklin and the Founding Fathers lived in the olden days. But, you know, this guy is a schmuck. This guy is incredibly schmo. You know, he's afraid to take away your freedoms. You know, but yet he's not afraid to tell you you can't, you know, it's against the law to have a 16-ounce Coke.
I don't know. He's a member of the nanny state. I agree with that.
Nanny state. The guy's a globalist.
Uh-huh.
The Mr. God awful Zionist.
Wait a minute. You're going too fast.
Zionist globalist.
I wanted to play that.
I didn't want to play that one because I don't like this guy, number one. He's a big fat
The Boston Mission.
For him to have taken 3 days.
He gets his lines wrong. We have to hear what he said that was wrong. That's why I want to. I realize that this is in the about the Boston.
It's about 17 seconds. He's that the commissioner of Boston.
So how confident can you be that they don't have more explosives still out there, sir?
We cannot be positive, but we're confident that these were the two actors, these were the two individuals that were carrying out this mission, and they are either dead or arrested at this point in time.
You hear what he said?
Two actors. See, this guy, there were a bunch of Blackwater guys there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That were actually spotted with bags. And they believed that these guys were the ones that did it. But I don't understand any of this. We don't know, you know, what happened. We'll never know what happened. These two guys, you know, those two bombers.
No.
We'll never know. They were set up. Here's a couple of terrorist guys. Let's blame them. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then they had to make a big story, kind of like Adam Lanza's story, you know? Yeah, I just don't believe anything anybody says anymore about this stuff.
Still many unanswered questions. That's a good one.
About the Boston bombing.
Yeah.
So let's we are changed. So let's listen to that.
My name's Steve Foster. I am a retired military, and I own and operate Coastal One Photography.
And how many times have you covered the Boston Marathon?
2010, 11, 12, maybe a few years now. I've come down and take pictures every year. I can't stay away from this place. I came over to the event here with my friend. We left the Sox game. We were coming over here to get some breakfast, late breakfast. And we tried to go across the street. ironically, right where the second bomb was. However, we couldn't beat the crowds. We couldn't make that move across the street, so we were forced to go around through the Prudential and eat at the Cheesecake Factory.
What was different this year than all the other years that you covered the Boston Marathon?
What was different this year? Like I said, being military and working for the Army and seeing this event from a soldier's point of view, they always put troops, they always put police, they always put firefighters, they always put these people out. This year, there was a few more cops, a few more support, and bomb sniffing dogs, and they were really going to town on this event. This was it's pleasant to see. I mean, it's nothing like, you know, I'm not trying to describe end of world situation or anything. It was just a little more. So you think, that's great. They got more in the budget. They're putting more on the street. It's a great thing. Hindsight, after all the events and after everything that happened, it definitely makes you wonder, you know, why the added security? This year, the only thing I can tell you is you see the bomb-sniffing dogs. You see them. They're hanging out. They're doing their thing casually. This year, they were a bit more progressive with it. They were working the dogs more. And, you know, I've been in combat zones. I've been around bomb-sniffing dogs. I know what they do. I know how they do it. And they look good this year. They were looking good, but they were definitely working the event. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of talk out there. Did they know beforehand? I hope to God not. Yeah, it just makes you think. However, you look around, you watch the dogs working, and they were sniffing. They were going to town.
Does that leave you with some questions?
The whole event leaves me with some questions. Specifically on the dogs, yeah, there's a question there, but there's questions all over the place. I'm a big fan of bomb-sniffing dogs and cops and firefighters and paramedics and guard troops. It's just this year there was a lot of them, and I hope to God they didn't have a forewarning.
Everybody back on the sidewalk!
Yeah, I live right across the street. They just came in and searched my place.
Did they give you an option to...
I asked them if I had an option, if I had a right, after I hit record on my phone, and he said I always have a right. Yeah, and then they kind of pressed me into thinking that if I didn't allow them that I was doing something wrong. But I did let them in. I have nothing.
Under duress.
Under duress, exactly.
Yeah. So they... Because I heard a report that they were giving people the option.
No.
So they're not...
Like I said, they say yes, there is, but...
Yeah. Did you receive a phone call? Because some residents here received the phone call.
I don't have a landline
with them
either, so...
Telling them that they were going to come.
Yeah, I heard the gunshots and the explosions last night.
How was that? Like, what did you see anything?
45,
or? Yeah.
And there's a news crew on the sidewalk, and there's about 100 cops blaring with their sirens going down the street. And then when I talked to the news guys, that's when I heard the gunshots go off, and then I heard two explosions behind it.
Yeah, we heard the street was very chaotic. Did you see anything, or did you just hear everything?
I was standing at that corner, and you could tell it was coming from probably about three blocks down where they have it roped off. So I didn't see anything.
Yeah. What do you think about everything in general? I mean...
I don't know. I mean, it looked like there were some seals down there with some hats that they're not... with the Punisher logo on it that they're not talking about. I know you've seen the Twitter feed.
Yeah.
So I don't know why that's not being addressed.
Yeah, they're not answering any questions at the press conferences. They're not allowing any more questions now.
Yeah.
And now they won't allow any other more media down there now as well.
Yeah, I mean, the kid's Twitter feed, he seems like a regular 19-year-old kid. I know even in that Twitter feed that of those photos, you can see two guys who did look Middle Eastern, but then you saw it through the seals.
Yeah.
I can't tell if the guys who did look Middle Eastern look like the guys that they're going after now, but... His Twitter feed seems like a regular 19-year-old boy.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what to think.
Yeah, with an older brother.
Information out there, you know.
It's hard to tell because very little information is being divulged at all right now.
Yeah.
So it's really hard to tell what's what. You know, the only thing we could do is just document it live and film everything. They supposedly think the suspect may be within the 20-block area here now. So that's why I guess they're doing the door-to-door searches.
It's really crazy, but I just want to commend you for everything you do. I'm glad to meet you, man.
Nice to meet you, too.
I'm Justine,
nice to meet you. Anything else you guys like to say, or?
I don't know. Freedom isn't popular, but it's worth it.
call me John, too.
Johannes, how you doing? Luke Radowski, WRC. I was wondering if I could get your story and experience about what you just went through, because we just saw the police, you know, entering your house, and they just came in, did a routine, just looked around.
Exactly.
Inside and outside.
They looked around and they just opened the door, checked if there was any individuals there, and they just left. They said last night it's a mandatory search, means that we had to come in and
switch. It's a mandatory.
Find that guy.
If you could just tell us, I mean, you know, what do you know about him? Can you give us as many details as you can about, you know?
As far as I remember, I mean, I haven't seen much. I haven't seen him in like a year.
Yeah. But when you did know him, did he, you know?
When I was
with
him, we used to hang out. Right there, he used to push up. You do this. He would just cheer up about it.
How does everything fit together? Does it even fit together?
I don't think the pieces fit together. When you listen to the way that his ex-friend described him, it doesn't fit the profile of a middle-aged young man. I live in this community. I've been here since 1994.
You live down the block from his girlfriend's house here.
My son goes to elementary school in this area. The pieces of this don't make sense to me.
Yeah.
I think we're missing something, or it's just a smoke screen.
Yeah, his family and friends are now speaking out, saying there's no way anything like this could be possible. We, of course, don't know, but there's also very little information we're getting from the authorities, sadly, about what exactly is happening and what exactly is going on. I mean,
missing pieces of the puzzle. I really do.
Yeah. Do you think there should be more answers? There should be more information out there?
What do you think, Alex?
Or
that was the real change. It makes a lot of sense, but nothing makes much sense. You know?
Yeah, well, they interviewed people on the spot there, so there was a lot of emotion
and
stuff connected with their interview, but, you know.
But it was still interesting because, you know, you're dealing with the people that saw it. They're saying what they saw. And what they saw wasn't exactly what went down, what supposedly went down, the official story. But anyway,
do the many really have to obey the few?
I was going to read one thing. I was going to play that, and I wanted to read
that. That'd be a good one. Why we won't mourn for Margaret Thatcher? Oh, she wasn't in the nice
person. She was not very well liked. So the myth. I thought that would be it. We should read just a little bit of that.
The Iron Lady.
Yeah, because I the myth of her, you know, it's kind of like the myth of Ronald Reagan, you know, was hatched, you know, where the
that's right.
You know, they Reagan was a warmongering SOB, you know. Amazing what that guy was.
And carefully crafted image.
And she's the same way, a hard ass, you know.
Conservative.
And just, you know. So, I wanted to just read this little bit. Everybody should know Margaret Thatcher, who was who she was. She was the first prime minister, a female woman prime minister of England. Probably one of the first, you know, anywhere. For maybe Golda Meir. I don't know who else was female prime ministers, but I don't know if I want to really go into this too much, but just said Margaret Thatcher died on April 8th, 2013, and the vast majority of ordinary people greeted her passing with undisguised joy. The right-wing media have tried to portray this response, disrespectful behavior of a minority. It isn't. It is a fitting response to the death of a Tory prime minister who spent the entire 1980s willfully attacking the poor and the working class in Britain and abroad. During her reign, countless people lost their lives directly as a result of her policies. Miners killed on the picket lines, 10 Irish prisoners driven to death on the hunger strike by her refusal to recognize their human rights, sailors on the Belgrano torpedoed on her order as her ship sailed away from a war zone, and people driven to suicide by her selfish economic policies that increased inequality massively in Britain. And of course, in this city, 96 Liverpool supporters died at a football match. She was up to her armpits in conspiracy to blame the victims and their families were a tragedy that her hateful policy, policing policies caused. And we have only just got an official recognition of how this cover-up increased the terrible suffering that the families and survivors of this terrible event have had to endure for 24 long years. Did Margaret Thatcher mourn for her victims? No, and we don't mourn for her. In Britain, she destroyed industry after industry to break the power of the trade unions. In steel, in mines, in the print, and on the docks, she passed the most undemocratic and draconian anti-union laws in the West, and she deregulated the banks and directly caused the regime of financial piracy that led to the recent fiscal crash. Ronald Reagan was one of the first real anti-union bashers, and which was amazing because he was the president of the Actors Union. All right,
he didn't count that.
No, but you know, he went after the first thing he did was when the air traffic controllers went on strike, he fired them all. All right, screw their union. You know, that was the end of that. So. Thatcher openly targeted our city, a city with strong trade unions and socialist values, imposing savage cuts and then ousting a democratically elected labor council that fought her. She launched her attack on Liverpool after the Toxteth Rising in 1981, determined to make us pay for having fought back and determined to carry out a policy of the managed decline. For our city. After she had waged her neo-colonial war against Argentina and the Falklands, the Malvinas, in 1982, a war designed to shore up Britain's military prowess on its world stage and protect the interests of Britain's bosses who could smell oil reserves in the South Atlantic and saw the islands as a potential future basis of operations. And she returned to war on people she called the enemy within, trade unionists, workers, poor people, and above all, the miners. After all, the excuse that Argentina was ruled by a dictator didn't wash, given her lifelong support for the murderous General Pinochet in neighboring Chile. This was a dictator she was happy to lavish praise on and armed to the teeth, and he killed at least 30,000 Chilean trade unionists after his coup in 1973. Wow. Thatcher spent untold millions killing Argentinians, and then in 1984 and 85, bludgeoning British miners into submission after a long, year-long strike, and all the same aim to ensure that the country would be a land of plenty for the rich elite, both at home and abroad. The mining communities were wrecked by her pit closures program and criminalized by a police occupation of their villages when they fought back. Want to read some of
that? Yeah, just point out where we are there. And having won both battles, she went on in her third term of office to impose an unjust local tax on everyone, the poll tax. She brazenly piloted it in Scotland, first in an act of vengeful spite against the people who rejected Toryism outright. This was one battle she lost as we fought back with all our might. Make no mistake, it may have been the Tory men in suits who moved against her in Parliament, but they were only able to do it because we had made Britain virtually ungovernable through the Great Poll Tax Rebellion. During her time in office and even before she became Prime Minister Thatcher, who famously said, "There is no such thing as society," did her best to harm all of those who stood for justice and equality. She took free week milk away from school children. She sold off council houses, creating a terrible shortage of affordable homes. She privatized industry and utilities, so her loudmouth mega rich friends in the city of London could make killing after killing on the stock market. She closed down industries and then allowed a heroin epidemic to flourish in the ghost towns her policies had created. She sponsored waves of racism, claiming Britain was being swamped by immigrants, and then unleashed a reign of racist terror by the police on black communities across the country, notably in places like Brixton and Toxteth. At the same time, she propped up apartheid racism in South Africa. branding Nelson Mandela a terrorist to the very end. She used the AIDS epidemic of gay men and lesbians, bringing the anti-gay attack section 20, anti-gay attack law section 28 in case students, and in case students, though they were getting off lightly, she laid the foundation stone for a long campaign to transform education from a right into a privilege for the rich by introducing student loans.
There is not one thing that Thatcher did that was good. Her life was a blot on our landscape. We are well rid of her, and we are outraged that at a time of major cuts in welfare, she is being given a multi-million pound send-off. What hypocrisy. What an insult to the poor of this country who are having to cope with the bedroom tax and the benefit cuts, as over £10 million is spent burying a person the majority of people in this country despise. And which brings us to the main point we should all remember as she is dispatched. Thatcher may be dead, but her legacy of sacrificing the livelihoods, the rights, and the communities of the working class on the altar of profit lives on in her descendants. Cameron and his gang of Etonian toffs are trying to finish off the job Thatcher started. It is our job to stop them and hurl Thatcher's legacy back in her face, which is why on the day of her funeral, Liverpool Trade Unions Council renews its commitment to stop the cuts, axing the bedroom tax, saving the NHS, and supporting workers' struggles here across the country and across the world. And, you know, that's really, really serious. And, hey, that's reality. Margaret Thatcher, the Wicked Witch of Britain. All right, experts warn David Cameron's bitch. There was a couple of other things I wanted to bring up tonight, one before we go to break. Or actually, we can go to break now.
Okay, go ahead.
But I would like to, there's a couple of articles I want to talk about later. Churchill wanted to drench Germany with poison gas. I love that article. And there's another thing, I want to talk a little bit about poverty tonight in America. And also a little beside them. Health issues that are coming up. But in the meantime, let's go to a little bit of break.
Okay.
And then we'll come back. And thank you. wanted to read. It's How to Control What People Think.
Mm.
Buy out the major news providers, Reuters, as well as the cable news channels.
I'll do it.
Which is AFP, AP, Reuters, and all the cable news channels. Two, only publish news stories that further your socio-political agendas. Three, encourage heated debate within specified ideological and political limits that do not threaten your agenda or the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And four, focus on traumatic events to keep the population afraid and traumatized. Boy, they sure do that.
Yep.
And five, describe anyone who releases information from outside the system as a radical or conspiracy theorist. And that's Lila and I. We are outside of the box, we are sorry to say. But
I'm
anyway,
proud to say.
Well, I'm proud to say that too, but what can I tell you, folks? That's what we are. We are happy and proud to be out of the box.
Yep.
You know?
And I bet you are too. That's why you're listening to this show.
Yes.
What is that little audio piece for there?
Well, that's a song.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah. School girls don't get you about vaccines. It's quite time.
So the Balkanization of Syria, a nation divided. That's interesting.
Yeah, it's also
happening.
Mm. I want to do that route.
The robot revolution.
Yeah. One second. I wanted to go back and read that one on health care, the health issue. Turns out we got another dumbass in the defense secretary. I thought we had a little hope for him.
Chuck Hagel.
But he's just another Israeli clone falling in line.
Oh, that's a good one.
What's that?
The 7 unanswered questions.
17
unanswered questions about the Boston Marathon bombing the media is afraid to ask. That's kind of interesting.
Did you say?
Yes.
You watched it?
Yeah. No, it's written. You can get it. Go into that site, please. It says read more.
Okay. Global Awakening to False Flag Terrorism, Copernican Revolution.
No, the other one.
I know. Okay. We spent calls.
Back
Boston
to that.
Marathon bombing a false flag.
Oh, that should be interesting. Let's play that.
Yeah, these are. We won't play the whole thing, but these are C-SPAN callers that insisted that this is a false flag
event.
James is calling from Walton, Kentucky, on our line for independence. James, you're on the Washington Journal.
Good morning, and I just want to say God bless America, but I'm so glad this is all over, but I'm worried how far this is going to take away our civil rights. Because people are going to say, oh, now we need to have drones in every sky. And we could have caught them so much easier if we had drones canvassing the neighborhood. And then if it was black powder that they used in the bombing, they might say, okay, let's restrict all reloading powder sales. And
said all anyone has to do is, anybody's out there listening, take a look and Google up Operations Gladio, Operations Northwoods, and I was watching Infowars.com just as this was beginning, and within about 3 minutes after them exposing all the Navy SEALs who were standing at the finish line, within about 2 or 3 minutes, Fox and CNN both started to change their stories, closing up the they decided to present a possible suspect, and all the stories had to have changed. But I think this operation clearly shows just another false flag, much like Aurora, and a lot of the other ones. And again, everyone out there, just Google Operations Northwood and Operations Gladio, and you can go to a .gov website and see 200 previous false flags, and I think this one has all the earmarks, particularly the big show that was put on with thousands of police running around all over town looking for one guy. That's all I have to say.
That's Kurt in Wilmot, Ohio. On Twitter, we've got this tweet from Don Ritchie, who writes, "When did we vote to give police the authority to shut down a metro area and lock millions in their homes to catch one criminal?" Hey, Scott, as a defense attorney, talk to me about this item here in this morning's New York Times, where they say a federal law enforcement official said he would not be, this is Johar Tsarnaev, would not be read his Miranda rights because the authorities would be invoking the public safety exception in order to question him extensively about other potential explosive devices or accomplices and try to gain intelligence.
I don't agree with that. I think everybody should be given their Miranda rights.
So if he's not given his Miranda rights, then can they not? They can't use anything that he talks to them about in a trial, should this case go to trial, correct?
That's correct. You know, and that's why I said that everybody should be given their Miranda rights. You know,
we can go on with that. But there's a series of a whole bunch of call-ins that all believe this was a joke. You know, anybody want a little George Carlin?
Yeah. I think that's all a little humor.
Stupid people.
A little sick humor is helpful.
Well, I know some people don't like you to talk about those things. I know that. Some people don't like you to mention certain things. Some people don't want you to say this. Some people don't want you to say that. Some people think if you mention some things, they might happen. Some people are really fucking stupid. Did you ever notice that, how many really stupid people you run into during the day? God damn, there's a lot of stupid bastards walking around. Carry a little pad and pencil with you. You wind up with 30 or 40 names by the end of the day. Look at it this way. Think of how stupid the average person is, and then realize half of them are stupider than that. And it doesn't take you very long to spot one of them, does it? Take you about 8 seconds. You'll be listening to some guy. You say, this guy is fucking stupid. Then there are some people that are not stupid. They're full of shit. That doesn't take very long to spot either, does it? Take you about the same amount of time. You'll be listening to some guy and say, well, he's fairly intelligent. He's full of shit. Then there are some people, they're not stupid, they're not full of shit, they're fucking nuts. Dan Quayle is all three.
To read it and the spike kept going out on me. So we could try.
It says, forget Scientology. Celebrities are now falling for an even more sinister religion, the satanic sex cult that snared Peaches. I don't know what Peaches is, but.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Peaches Geldorf. Bob Geldorf's daughter. And he's the guy that put together a Band-Aid, remember?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
He's the same
Hello,
guy. Yeah. Right up there with Bono. Let's check this one out. This is, so it looks like there's another big satanic cult lurking around the celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see if this is true or not.
Probably that guy, what's his name? I can't think of him. He's dead now, the big Satanist.
Crowley.
Aleister
Crowley.
Aleister
Crowley.
He's probably coming back from the dead. He was a menace when he was alive. It doesn't look like this is coming up. Oh, no?
He had problems with it, too, he's like.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Daily Mail. UK, so it's a European English.
I couldn't get it to. No. It just says, we'll just read what's on the front page. Taken at face value, it was an innocent enough remark, encouraging friends to explore a belief system to apply day-to-day life to attain peacefulness. But when Peaches Geldorf chose to share her religious convictions with her 148,000 followers on Twitter, it lifted the lid on a much more sinister world than first impressions would suggest. The socialite 24 is a devotee of Ordo Templi Orientis, known as OTO, and even has the initials tattooed on her left arm. It's a...
Ordo Templi, whatever. What's the name of it? Ordo Templi. Is the name of the order?
Oh, here it is. It came up now. I couldn't get it to come up.
Still seems to be in progress here.
The work in progress. The satanic cult is what... Oh, there it is.
Okay, here we go.
We read that.
Yeah.
Given her tendencies to flip between fads and passions, at one point she was a Scientologist. More recently, she has wandered into Judaism. This could be dismissed as another harmless flirtation. But a closer look at Otto and Aleister Crowley, its founding prophet, gives lie to that assumption. Crowley, who was born into an upper class British family in 1875, styled himself as the Great Beast 666. He was an unabashed occultist who, prior to his death in 1947, reveled in his infamy as the wickedest man in the world. His form of worship involved sadomasochistic sex rituals with men and women, spells which he claimed could raise malevolent gods, and the use of hard drugs, including opium, cocaine, heroin, and mescaline.
They didn't mention in this that Hubbard was involved with Crowley in the Scientology.
Mm-hmm.
Was seriously involved with the sexual magical spells that Hubbard was involved with.
Crowley's motto, perpetuated by OTO, was "Do what thou wilt," and it is this individualistic approach that has led to a lasting fascination among artists and celebrities, of whom Peaches is the latest in a long line. Led Zeppelin's Jimmy Page, for example, routinely took part in occult magical rituals and was so intrigued by Crowley he bought his former home, Bolskin House, on the shores of Loch Ness in Scotland. And there are now OTO lodges scattered around the country practicing the same ceremonial rituals and spreading word of Crowley. While membership is secret, Peaches is said to have been initiated into it, raising the prospect that many of her impressionable fans could try to do the same. Scary.
And Jay-Z is in this too. Rapper Jay-Z and Led Zeppelin guitarist Jimmy Page are believed to be involved with OTO, and that's Beyonce's husband.
Mm-hmm.
In one of her Twitter followers asked how she could find out more about Thelema, another word for Crowley's teachings. Peaches directed her to read his books, which she described as super interesting. Other celebrities linked to OTO include the rapper Jay-Z, who has repeatedly purloined imagery and quotations from Crowley's work. And whether wearing a t-shirt emblazoned with "Do What Thou Wilt" or hiring Rihanna to hold aloft a flaming torch in his music videos, a reference to the Illuminati, an outlawed secret society whose name supposedly derives from Lucifer or Lightbringer, he has given the sect priceless publicity. His clothing line, Rocaware, is shot through with OTO imagery, such as the all-seeing eye in a triangle, the eye of Horus, and the great head of Bahamut. Bahamut, horned and androgynous idol of Western occultism. Some conspiracy theorists have seized on this as evidence that he is a member of a secret Masonic movement, which they believe permeates the highest levels of business and government. Others take a more pragmatic view that this is commercial opportunism, cashing in on impressionable teens' attraction to the edginess of occult symbolism. And OTO is much more than a marketing opportunity for attention-seeking celebs. It is a living religion that adherents still practicing occult rituals set out by Crowley in his book. This week, I tracked down John Bonner, 62, the head of OTO in the UK, to his home in Essex, in East Essex. He told me, "We are not a mass appeal sort of organization. In the UK, we number in our hundreds. Worldwide, it's thousands." Do you want to read the rest of that?
Sure.
Can you do that? Celebrities
are not always a boon or a benefit. We're used to being misunderstood. Many stories about Crowley, like people saying he filed his teeth down into fangs, are nonsense. You could call us a sex cult in a way, because we recognize, accept, and adore the whole process, which goes towards making tangible the previously intangible. According to adherents of OTO, it takes years of study before you can begin to understand what the religion is about, much like the equally controversial Church of Scientology. Boehner takes issue with the comparison, saying it's extremely expensive to study Scientology, yet OTO demands no financial contributions. Giving her own dabbling in heroin casual sex, particularly during a rootless period when she lived in Los Angeles a few years ago, it is perhaps natural that the troubled offspring of Bob Geldof and Paula Yates should be attracted to such a liberal school of thought. And if Peach's own interest is so shallow, heaven knows what her impressionable and mostly very young fans will take from it. A former FBI agent, Ken Gunderson, who is investigating satanic circles in L.A., found that Crowley's teachings about raising demons to do one's bidding suggest human sacrifice, preferably an intelligent young boy. John Boehner is dismissive of any idea that he and his fellow believers would even begin to countenance such excesses, pointing out that this is the only religion that sends people a letter of congratulations when they decide to leave, because they are exercising free will, which is what we're all about. But he accepts many people may not be able to deal with Crowley's complex teachings. You're not supposed to just jump right into it. It takes time and study. But our rituals are not for public consumption. You need to join us and go through the initiation process before you can begin to understand. But according to our beliefs, we can't turn anyone away. So if you're over 18 and are possibly sane and are free to attend initiations, then you have an undeniable right of membership. Peaches Geldof is playing with fire. One can only hope that her fans treat this latest post with the scorn it deserves.
So, that's interesting.
Mm.
You heard it here, guys. You know, stones everywhere. Especially, most of it comes from the UK.
There's another a really good article on the next page.
Don't you? Do you think that's cool?
It's a cool picture, but I want to go to the article. Isn't very good. Go to the next page, please.
The next one.
Yeah.
I was hoping to read that. I wanted to read that article. On the 30 is the new 45.
Well, we could go back to that if you want.
Kind of working its way to the others, to the other page. Here.
This is not responding. What does that mean? To a long-running script.
Yes, it's a stop script. Whatever's coming up with the text is too long. Computer doesn't like it. It just stopped the script, but it's not stopping. Sorry, folks, I'm just trying to get this...
So irritating when that happens.
Yeah, because it just knocks you out, you know. Sorry, folks. That damn thing is not working. It's supposed to work.
Okay.
It just throws the page up and it's got the...
genetically modified seed must be discarded as well as for it alters the DNA of humans. The human body desires food that is unmodified, real, and raw. At this critical juncture, organic farming must rise up and be the future. Time for transparency. There is a definite need for transparency in food and drink products. So many people claim to be natural but are still loaded with toxic additives. For example, natural toothpaste brands may not contain fluoride, but they usually contain toxic sodium lauryl sulfate. I didn't know that. Even worse, many food products leave consumers completely in the dark. It's time to label genetically modified foods. Corporations like Monsanto need to be clearer about their deadly practice of altering seed. Genetically modified foods need to be labeled so consumers can make more informed decisions. Likewise, companies like Bayer and Dow need to be upfront about the effects of bisphenol A, that's BPA, have on the hormones of people, what effect they have.
I've got one. I don't know if you want to continue that whole thing, but I wanted to read the top most unhealthy cancer-causing foods.
Okay.
Never eat these again.
What we need is, let me just mention, what we need is better education, and detoxification must become everyone's new self-discipline.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
That's interesting.
Okay. How to beat depression without prescription drugs? Yeah. Go ahead. Here it is, right there.
Oh, okay.
Eliminate your doldrums through diet, exercise, and relationships.
Wait a minute. Where's the 10 most worst foods?
I guess you didn't get that. What you got was how to beat depression without prescription drugs.
Wait a minute. That's not right. Jeez. Can't even depend on these things, though.
Go ahead.
Again. Top 10 most unhealthy cancer-causing foods. Never eat these again. All right?
All right.
And, of course, hopefully we'll be able to get this thing to work. Okay, here we go. The statement, everything causes cancer, has become a popular hyperbole, and one that some people use as rhetorical fodder to excuse their own dietary and lifestyle failures, particularly as they pertain to cancer risk. But the truth of the matter is that many common food items have indeed been scientifically shown to increase cancer risk, and some of them substantially. Here are 10 of the most unhealthy cancer-causing foods that you should never eat.
Number one, genetically modified organisms.
Which are replaced in a cancer-free diet. GMOs have no legitimate place in cancer-free diets.
Number two, processed meats.
Most processed meat products include lunch meats, bacon, sausage, and hot dogs. I just had bacon tonight. And contain and preservatives and make them appear fresh and appealing, but they can also cause cancer. Sodium nitrate and sodium nitrate, have been linked to scientifically increasing the risk of colon and other forms of cancer.
Number three, microwave popcorn.
They might be convenient, but those bags of microwave popcorn are lined with chemicals that are linked to causing not only infertility, but also liver, testicular, and pancreatic cancers. Right. So lay that off, guys. Soda pop. Like processed meat, soda pop has been shown to cause cancer as well. Loaded with sugar, food chemicals, and coloring, soda pop acidifies the body and literally feeds cancer cells. Common soda pop chemicals like caramel color and its derivative 4-methoxazole have also specifically been linked to cancer causing cancer.
The next one, diet foods and beverages.
Even worse than conventional sugar sweetened soda pop is diet soda, right? And causes cancer and aspartame. Saccharin and artificial sweeteners.
Refined white flours.
Refined white flours are commonly common ingredient in processed foods, but its excessive carbohydrate content is a serious cause for concern. 220% increase in breast cancer among women because of refined carbohydrates.
Wow. Refined sugar.
The same goes for refined sugars. One tend to rapidly spike insulin levels and feed the growth of cancer cells. Fructose-rich sweeteners like high fructose corn syrup are particularly offensive, as cancer cells have been shown to quickly and easily metabolize them in order to proliferate.
Okay.
It says cookies, cakes, pies, sodas,
okay.
sauces, cereals.
We know
many
that.
Other popular, most processed food items are loaded with HFCS and other refined sugars, high fructose corn syrup. And this helps explain why cancer rates are on the rise these days.
Conventional apples, grapes, and other dirty fruits. Many people think they're eating healthy when they eat apples, grapes, or strawberries from the store, but unless these fruits are organic or are verified to be pesticide-free, they could be a major cancer risk. Farm salmon, number 9. Farm salmon is another high-risk cancer food, according to Dr. David Carpenter, director of the Institute of Health, blah, blah, blah. According to his assessment, farm salmon not only lacks vitamin D, but it's full of contaminants.
Oh, man.
It's often contaminated with carcinogenic chemicals, PCBs, flame retardants, pesticides, and antibiotics. Number 10.
Salmon?
Yes, farm salmon. Hydrogenated oils. They are commonly used to preserve processed foods and keep them shelf stable.
But hydrogenated fruit oils alter the structure and flexibility of cell membranes throughout the body, which can lead to a host of debilitating diseases such as cancer. Some manufacturers are phasing out the use of hydrogenated oils and replacing them with palm oil and other safer alternatives, but trans fats are still widely used in processed foods.
Okay, folks, on that note,
thank you.
Thank you for being with us, and remember those 10 foods. Try not to eat.
Just stay away from all processed foods as best you possibly can.
Try not to eat them, and stay tuned to us tomorrow night. Wednesday night, we'll be doing a union show, and then Thursday, Leo will be in the esoteric realm. So listen for us tomorrow night, and thanks for being with us tonight. Good night, folks, and enjoy the rest of your evening.
Now we'll be trying to bring this back to our phone. All right. Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening.